Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paskyajade Satani Namo Mahabhanandaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauravishaya Namaha Vanchakopa Tirubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It was very nice that we're open this year for Gaur Purnima. I thought I'd start. I'm going to read a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That way at least I can say something. Panchatattva avatirna chaitanyera sange panchatattva lana karena sankirtanarange. These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. Ataiva ami agya dilan sabakare yahan tahan prema phala deha yare tare. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. That's from Adi Leela 936. Keha gada gadi yaya keha ta hankara deki andita hana hase malakara. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor, and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. Did I read that Bengali okay? Was that all right? Yeah. So, I was thinking, of course, I have to speak about Srila Prabhupada in relationship to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I was trying to go back to the beginning and think, of course, we know Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, the International Society. And I was thinking how important it is that our society is an international society. It's not one country, not 10 countries. Every town and village around the world. Just reading here, this was Lord Chaitanya's, not just his desire, his order. He said, this is my order. And as we can see through all the acharyas from that time, every one of them wanted to place that order into play, into practice. They wanted to see that that happened, that this chanting of Hare Krishna was in every town and village, everywhere around the world, that this Maha Mantra was chanted. One thing that sticks out with me with Srila Prabhupada is we know even early on, 67, 68, 69, at that time, some of the books Prabhupada gave us in the very beginning, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion. From the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was thinking, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And he gave us everything from the very beginning, even though he was traveling to people, knew nothing about Krishna consciousness. He dove deep into the Shastras with nectar of devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and right to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with Krishna book. I always say Prabhupada knew everything that he was doing. He knew, as he said very humbly on a few occasions, perhaps I was that person to distribute Lord Chaitanya's teaching all around the world. And in the very beginning, when there were just a dozen, two dozen temples, their business was going out, chanting Hare Krishna, just as Lord Chaitanya directed, just as Lord Chaitanya did by his own example, his whole life, everyone he empowered. It said, I couldn't find it, I was looking for it, I lost. There were some verses about how, of course, Lord Chaitanya himself couldn't go to every place, and that he entered the pure devotees, so that the pure devotees themselves, because Lord Chaitanya, everyone, just by seeing him, they became Krishna conscious. Everyone that he just glanced at, everyone that glanced at him, they became Krishna conscious immediately. But it said that he empowered his devotees, his pure devotees, with that same power. This was the power of Srila Prabhupada. It was the power of Lord Chaitanya within him, carrying the Maha Mantra all around the world, over and over and over again. And he empowered his disciples. That's the importance of this society being an international society. It's to show everyone that comes in these temple doors, Lord Chaitanya's movement has been spread all around the world by his pure devotees. Not that they come in and see a few people from this town, that town. No, every town and village. He told those devotees, 1968, 1969, his editor, one of the editors wrote, should I go out? Should I just stay here and do my editing work? We know how important that was, Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, everyone go out. He said, that's your first business, to go out on the Sankirtan party. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party. He said, that's the first business. Not that it's left over for those that can't do anything better, don't have intelligence to manage things, to do things. No, it was the exact opposite. He said, you go out on Sankirtan, and when there's time, you can do these other things. Even his editing work. So, of course, I joined Prabhupada 1972 in John Mastami time. And from that time, we came here in October. He traveled around India. And the first time I was with him when he went to Mayapur, birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, was the beginning of March, 1973. He just stayed for 3 days. He went again for the entire month of June. He stayed some more time. Place was, they were starting already the Lotus building. His rooms were decent. But in the beginning, he stayed in the very place we see when, as soon as you go in the front gates. His bhajan kutir, I've mentioned that many times, how simple it was. But one thing I saw over and over again, that simplicity was also part of Lord Chaitanya's movement, was part of the lifestyle of the Lord as a devotee, and it was the lifestyle of all the devotees. It was also the lifestyle that he tried to impress upon us to live very simply, to concentrate our efforts on service and chanting. So I saw that in Mayapur when he was living in that very simple thatched roof, hut, bamboo walls. He didn't think he had to go somewhere else and stay. He was staying in that place. And he was observing the devotees as well. And I've told this story. One day, he came out of that very simple little room. Of course, there was no running water anywhere on the property. It was simple. For him, it was okay. He saw his Westerners. It was difficult for his Western disciples. And of course, his Western disciples were important. They were the ones doing everything around the world, and they were the ones establishing these temples for him. But when he came out and saw the devotees, 24 devotees, right in front of his kutir, right in front of his residence, they were being served hot puris. And Prabhupada smiled as he walked by. He had hot puris and gur. These were some of the things you could relish in Mayapur at that time of year as well. Huh? Hot puris, gur, on a little kerosene stove. That's all they had there, was this kerosene stove. And Prabhupada went and walked, used the bathroom. He came back. And he looked at everybody. Of course, everyone's offering obeisances. Prabhupada's smiling. And then he went into his room. He said to me, "Why are they getting hot puris one at a time like that?" He said, "We're simple devotees." He said, "Not that people are being served, cook a puri, bring it to them." He said, "Everything should be prepared and brought to the devotees." He said, "We're not so big." He said that we're served in this way. I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." But one of the things, because this is how everyone lived, this is 1972, 1973. Mayapur was a village. Everyone was very simple, and they were all devotees. He wanted us to show others we could live like devotees. We could live simply. Take a little prasadam, chant Hare Krishna. This was our business. So that was the first thing I was seeing, Prabhupada arriving. He would come to Vrindavan. There was a certain mood Prabhupada had. I don't know what his moods were. But when I saw him in Mayapur, he seemed to have a different mood. It was a very relaxed mood. Huh? Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, he was very happy in Mayapur. He was there, the very birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, where this Krishna consciousness movement began. And he relished being in Mayapur. So the next time he came, he had his two rooms ready in the Lotus Building. Even it wasn't finished. Again, that never mattered to Prabhupada. He didn't need anything elaborate. This is what he was showing me. This is what he was showing all of us. To live simply, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. Not to make things very complicated in our lives. He certainly didn't make things complicated. He never asked for anything. Even 24-hour servant was there. He had his meals, he had his cloth, he had his bath, he had his massage. But there was never any extravagant needs. And prasadam was very simple every day. So now as things were growing, he impressed upon us in Mayapur especially. One of the things when he was there in Mayapur, he would stand on the veranda. He would like to chant. Prabhupada chanted on his beads very often. You would find if he wasn't doing anything else, his hand was in his bead bag. He was chanting, pulling down his counter beads, very quietly chanting rounds. And he would look out in Mayapur, you know, he would look out in the vast expanse. Rice paddies everywhere. One temple in the distance on the left side. Sri Chaitanya Mahat on the right side, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. I was with Prabhupada 5 times when he went to Mayapur. 5 different times. Stayed there almost 100 days. He didn't once go inside that temple. We would think, how peculiar is this? Every time that car would drive by, Prabhupada would stop. He would offer his respects. And then he'd say, let's go. He would go to his place, his ISKCON temple, his international temple. All his disciples were there who were spreading the Krishna consciousness movement by Lord Chaitanya's order. Everyone's order. This is your business, to preach this cult of Lord Chaitanya, not for a few people. And he stood on that veranda and he pointed. I thought it was... He pointed and he said, Janmastan. Lord Chaitanya born there. And then he pointed right to his place. He said, Karmastan. He said, we're following the orders of Lord Chaitanya. We're spreading his mission all around the world. Of course, he said, we. He was following Lord Chaitanya's order completely. Didn't take any time from the time he came to America. Every day was the same, giving Krishna to everyone he met. And this was his instruction to us as well. This is our business. If we're following in that mood of Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they all have the same message. Sometimes Prabhupada would see things he didn't like. We had the big festival. 74 was a festival, not so big. But now, of course, some of his problems, issues, worldwide movement, men, women, and then coming to the Dham, Mayapur, Vrindavan, his Western disciples. It's all he had to do was see something for a moment, standing on that veranda. I said he was so blissful. You'll see if you look at the photos of Srila Prabhupada, I don't think there's any other place you see where Prabhupada's laid out across his asana in his room, just completely stretched out, in ecstasy, just in ecstasy being there in Mayapur. We know sometimes Prabhupada had little pet names. Even Saraswati, called her Saraswati Maharaj when she was just 3 years old. There he used to call me Shrutakirti Maharaj. That's just a sign of how much ecstasy he was in that he could even... I was Grahastha at the time. I wasn't even Brahmachari. But he had this just very comfortable, very peaceful, satisfied that he had accomplished this order of his spiritual master, the order of Lord Chaitanya. He accomplished it in all his humility, still within himself. He was satisfied. But he wanted us to carry that same message and that same attitude. He would say so many times, do as I'm doing. All his leaders, he made them stay with him for a month, 2 months, 3 months, his GBCs, his sannyasis. He wanted everyone to see, this is how a pure devotee acts. Because his idea was we were all become pure devotees. So there was a certain way that we should act. On his veranda, and I would, if he was on the veranda, I was on the veranda. Around within a few feet. So he called me. Is all he did. Just there was a man and a woman, devotees, Western devotees. They were just talking. Prabhupada looked at him. What is this fish? Called a fish. I don't know what kind of terminology fish is. But it was, to him, it was unnecessary talking. What is their business that they're talking? They're here in Mayapur. They're not living in Mayapur. Why are they talking? So I just... But I'd have to go down and say, break it up. This was his mood. Always Krishna conscious. He would hear us speaking. I always say Mayapur had a special atmosphere. Sound traveled. It was such an amazing atmosphere. Nowhere else in the world was I where you could hear things going on like there were speakers in people's rooms. Prabhupada would call me in once, call me in again, call me in again. Why are they gossiping? We're here in the Dham, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and it was always in Mayapur. Why are they gossiping, he said. He said, this gossip will destroy your Krishna consciousness. Everything we're working so hard for, spending our lives, chanting rounds, following the principles. But he told me, he told two other servants, the same, called them into the room, tell them to stop. He said the same exact same words, it will destroy your Krishna consciousness. I told you that story. Even his godbrother was coming to see him. His godbrother got very upset. Godbrother came in and said to Prabhupada, your godbrothers are criticizing you. You don't stop at the Janmasthan to see your spiritual master. Prabhupada slammed his spiritual master's photograph was right in front of him in Mayapur. Everywhere he went, his photo traveled around the world with him in his white bag. He slammed. He said, I'm always, every moment, with my spiritual master, he said. Because he was doing his spiritual master's business all the time. Wasn't that he had to make a show of going somewhere. But then Prabhupada got very upset to hear this gossip. This was more gossip. He was hearing gossip from his disciples, and then he's hearing gossip from his godbrother, Sannyasi. So then after he left, Prabhupada rang the bell. He said, next time he comes, I don't want to see him. All he does is gossip. He said, if he came here, spoke about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or spoke some philosophy, he said, but he's telling me that the godbrothers are saying this, his disciples are doing this in the temple. He said, I'm not interested in any of these things. He said, when he comes, I don't want to see him. This is how Prabhupada felt about this gossip. Devotee has no interest in hearing about the failings of others, the nonsense within the material world. He tells me, this young guy, his disciple, to prevent his godbrother from coming into his room. He was coming every day. That was part of his morning walk, I guess. He would come into the ISKCON Mandir there. So the very next day, he comes. If you know the Lotus Building, he walks up the stairs, goes up the flight of stairs, and I'm right there. And no one could get by there. That was one of my services at the time. So as soon as he comes up, he looks at me. I'm here to see Maharaj. I'm here to see Prabhupada. It was like 2 in the afternoon. Prabhupada's taking rest. I said, he's resting. I said, I can't disturb him while he's resting. He told me, whenever I want, I can see him. I said, yes, but I said, he's resting right now. Of course, Prabhupada's resting, not resting was kind of the same. And he hears us talking out there, obviously. And he opens up his bedroom door. He was lying in bed. And he's Mayapur, was warm, hot, just has dhoti on, No top, no, just a dhoti. And because he was resting, his dhoti's all disheveled. He looks so wonderful, Prabhupada walking. And he just comes out and he's fixing his dhoti. And he says, "Oh, Maharaj, come sit down. I'll be right there." I thought, "Oh, I'm in trouble." And then Prabhupada walks to the bathroom. And me and his godbrother, we walk in the Prabhupada's sitting room and sit down. And I can feel him next to me, you know. So then Prabhupada comes into the room, greets him, didn't give him a hug or anything. It's just a different relationship, different godbrother. He goes behind his desk, he sits down, says something, "Glad you're here." Immediately, couldn't wait. "Yeah, your disciple here told me I couldn't see you." Prabhupada looked at me. He said, "I told you, whenever he comes, you immediately let him in." I said, "Yes, Prabhupada, I'm sorry." He said, "Okay, you can go." Of course, it's not what Prabhupada said to me, but this was Prabhupada. This is a devotee. This is Lord Chaitanya. Most merciful, would always give his association. But it was also instruction for me, what my business was. Huh? We're traveling around the world, people saying, "What's this devotee doing? What's this one doing? You know, who's this one? What's he up to now?" No, this was never what Prabhupada was interested in us, in our conversations, preaching, always giving Krishna to others. So then, that was 74. Then I always say, we'll talk about... So Prabhupada, as he's traveling around, always carrying this message of Lord Chaitanya, always sharing Lord Chaitanya's compassion with everyone. And he could turn everyone into devotees just by his presence. It's Lord Chaitanya's potency. Just by his presence, he spread this Krishna consciousness movement all around the world. So by 1975, Prabhupada was in India. He was here in 1974. We know he stayed here for 2 months. He was very ill. Then he went to Mayapur. And he spent another month, October, month of October 1974 in Mayapur. So he's very carefully seeing that everything is being done properly. We can see in Mayapur, Prabhupada had big, big plans. The only thing he was part of there was building the guest house to give facility to his disciples so that they could develop that project more and more. And then the next year he had them build the long building. You all know the long building. It's a very long building for facility for his disciples, for his hundreds of disciples that were coming from the West. Even they may not be anyone in them for months at a time. It didn't matter to him. How to have facility for his disciples to come to Mayapur to fulfill the predictions of the acharyas, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show everyone in India, this is an international society of Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya has made devotees all around the world, and he's bringing him to his birthplace to do the same business, chant here, and become inspired in the Dham, to go out again preaching. So 1975, he left India, the very beginning, like January 75. And as I said, in 2 months he traveled around the world and he visited a dozen temples. And to me, as I look back over the years, more and more I see how much Prabhupada was relishing Lord Chaitanya's mood And the fact that Lord Chaitanya had spread this movement all around the world. Prabhupada had taken Lord Chaitanya's message all around the world. Every place he went, it started out, of course, in Japan. He just stayed 2 days. Then he stayed a few days in Hawaii. Then he went to Los Angeles, spread it a few days. In Hawaii, the original Panchatattva deities, the very first Panchatattva deities in our society, were installed in Hawaii in 1972. In fact, next year, it'll be their 50th anniversary of their installation. And Prabhupada, everything about those deities, he gave them every detail. What size they were, how their hands were. And the devotees made them in Hawaii. They made these deities out of paper mache. Prabhupada didn't concern themselves that they have to be made out of this wood, or they have to be made out of marble, or they need to be bread. No, he just make them. They made them with paper mache. They were around for a few decades before they were replaced. But the Prabhupada, he was so empowered. He could just say, do this. And it was done, and they were worshipped. Just like our murdunga drums. It was Prabhupada that started those resin murdungas so that they could be widely distributed. Not wildly. Wildly and widely distributed all around the world. What were they called? The Balaram Murdunga. Prabhupada was very happy that they were making these completely plastic murdungas. Didn't think, no, they have to be made out of, you know, it has to be proper, it has to be a coal with the clay and the this and... No. It was a murdunga. It was okay. At one point, he encouraged me. I was supposed to be the marketing agent for the Balaram Murdunga. I looked at it, I saw it in a letter, I thought, boy, I blew that. Didn't accomplish that very well. Now there's a whole new breed of these murdungas that are there. Nothing wrong with this. This was Prabhupada. Everything can be used in this Sankirtan movement, in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Everything should be utilized. So as I said, in this beginning of 1975, and Prabhupada, he was very aware. I was not aware from one day to the next. I just happened to be with this person who every day was Gaur Purnima. Every day was Janmashtami when you were with Prabhupada. Literally, every day was their appearance. They appeared with him. Lord Chaitanya was constantly with him. Krishna was there in his heart. So every day was a festival day, Prabhupada said. Not that this day is festival. Every day is festival. So then as he started traveling to each temple, he would see the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda on the altar. And this was the first time for me that I saw, day after day, Prabhupada couldn't contain his ecstasy that he was feeling. Just like it's described, I read that, Lord Chaitanya, what's it say? The great gardener sees the people chanting, dancing, laughing, some of them rolling on the floor, some making loud humming sounds. He smiles with great pleasure. This was my experience in being with Prabhupada as he sat on the Vyasasan, just looking at all his children, his nonsense rascal children, chanting Hare Krishna so enthusiastically. And Prabhupada would just smile at us. It was a genuine smile. He was in ecstasy watching us, seeing how Lord Chaitanya had entered all these hearts, everyone's heart, by Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's compassion. So it happened one place after another, from Los Angeles, Mexico City. He's sitting, every lecture was short. We know, I've told this a few times maybe. They got shorter and shorter everywhere he went because he would stop talking. He couldn't speak anymore. He was so jubilant to see this movement spread all around the world in just a few years by one person, one pure soul. So it happened in Mexico City. There they had Radha Krishna deities. Then it happened in Caracas. I told you, he said, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada traveling to Caracas, Venezuela, South America. It was a very long trip. So many of these flights, 22 hours of flying to go from one place to another. He never stopped doing it. Never said, this is too much, I can't go. I'm not going to Australia anymore. 20 hours to go there, just to go to Australia. He went there a half a dozen times. He was eager to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master. And he was completely empowered to do it. So in Caracas he said, they've traveled, pointing to the deities, he said, they've traveled very far to be here. Lord Chaitanya. He came very far from Mayapur to be with you South American boys and girls. And Prabhupada would get choked up. And from Caracas he went to Miami, stayed there a few days. As soon as he goes in the temple room, he sees the lordships on the altar, Gornitai. And Prabhupada said, so merciful, like he said in that Atlanta lecture. Lord Chaitanya, he's most merciful, he said, looking at these deities in Miami. And he said, and someday perhaps you'll install Radha Krishna deities in this temple. He said, but then you can't make any offense, Radha Krishna. He said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're very kind. He said, even you make some offense accidentally, they don't even notice. They don't take offense. He said, but Radha Krishna, he said, you must be very, very careful. He said, but even you don't get Radha Krishna, he said, they're here within Lord Chaitanya. And then he went to Atlanta. You know, there he said five sentences before he started crying. After three sentences, he was crying as he was talking, feeling such ecstasy that he couldn't control. He was controlling, but it was leaking out. Lord Chaitanya, what he had done. Prabhupada was overwhelmed seeing this Krishna consciousness movement has been spread all over the world. He was given this service. He fulfilled this service so wonderfully. So in Miami and Atlanta, that whole trip, as I said, he was in ecstasy, 3 days there. I have been with Prabhupada for over 2 years by this time. So I had seen different moods, very happy, very focused. But this I had never witnessed. And I told you when he was in Atlanta, I was massaging him at night, massaging his legs. It's in dark, just in his bedroom. No lights on, no one's there, just Prabhupada and his servant. And he's looking across from where he's lying down, a picture of Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys and lots of calves, thousands of calves you see in this painting. And for the second time, first time was 2 years before, for the second time I'm rubbing Prabhupada's legs and he says, I like the cowherd boys very much. And then Prabhupada during evening massage didn't speak very often. But when he did, there was nothing more sweet than those conversations in the evening. So as soon as he said that, now my antennas went up. He's talking. Imagine, there's no one else in the room, I would think. He's talking to me. I could never understand. Why is he talking to me? But there was no one else there. He said, every day, he said, Krishna Balaram, they would go out into the forest with the calves. He said, they were little boys. Not the cows, the calves, he said. And they would bring their tiffins. They had their lunches. Mother Yasoda made this lunch. He said, and the cowherd boys, they all came with lunches. Of course, Krishna's lunch was kachori, laglu, halava. But the cowherd boys, theirs was simple. Rice, chapati, like that. He's saying this as I'm rubbing him. He's just lying there looking at the painting. And then he said, and we've been hearing about this over the last few months now in the 10th canto. They're boys, Krishna and his boys, the cowherd boys. They're very playful, sarcastic, play tricks on each other. So he said they took Krishna's lunch. They stole his lunch and they playing keep away with Krishna's lunch. He said, and then they gave Krishna their lunch, and they had Krishna's kachuri and laglu. Then he just stopped. He said, I just want to go back to the spiritual world and eat kachuri and laglu with Krishna. And then he closed his eyes. That was the last thing he said. And then I just kept massaging and massaging. And eventually he'd say, go take rest. So that was the end of the night. You didn't leave. See, that's a devotional service. You don't even get to make up your own mind. You know, surrender to Krishna means you do what he wants, not what you want. So he'd give us a taste. Prabhupada would give us a taste when you were with him of what it actually meant to be surrendered devotee. If I was there massaging him, if he apparently nodded off or fell asleep, didn't mean I could leave. It meant you just keep doing it. You keep doing it, and you keep doing it until finally he'd say, okay, until you got that, you didn't go anywhere. It was the same thing with massage before lunch. Every spot, every moment was being controlled by him. That's Krishna consciousness, huh? When you completely give up control and do Krishna's will, Lord Chaitanya's will, huh? Everyone you meet, you give them Krishna. So that was Atlanta, then Prabhupada went to Dallas, he went to New York City. Everywhere now he's seeing, not just a few devotees, there's hundreds of devotees in every temple room. He's seeing this movement has grown. It's expanded exponentially. It's just growing and growing. And that's what I think Prabhupada's ecstasy was, just seeing how it's grown. So then he went to New York, then he went to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and of course there's hundreds of devotees there. 2 years before, there were 12 people living at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Now everyone from all over Europe, they're all chanting. And Prabhupada would sit, and he would sometimes play the gong. He had different instruments he would play in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. We had favorite ones, you know. We like when he played the gong, you know. Kartels, he played the kartels, but when he had the gong, very rarely did you see him play the mridanga. That was their different levels of ecstasy for his disciples when they would see playing kartels. playing the gong and then playing the mridanga. That was nothing more ecstatic than that. Huh? So that we're just sharing. Prabhupada was sharing his ecstasy with us. And he would just look. And he could just move his head. And by the movement of his head, everyone moved up and down. He would make you dance. That's what he wanted. He wanted to see the dancing. Not just, he liked to see us up and down dancing. He'd smile upon everyone. And that smile would just make you Krishna conscious. And then when he went back to Mayapur, of course, same thing, he went into ecstasy. When he went into ecstasy, the devotees, they would just become still. We just had this understanding, don't make a sound. Don't even breathe if you don't have to. Prabhupada's in ecstasy. Don't disturb him. And we just look. Because sometimes we think, when will that day be mine to become in ecstasy by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? But in Mayapur, one devotee started chanting, Nama Om. It was right behind Prabhupada's head, right behind the Vyasasam. So immediately Prabhupada's eyes opened up. And then kirtan went on. And like we do, after the kirtan, there was a big argument. Devotees were arguing, this side, that side. You always have to argue. Shouldn't have chanted, we should have just waited. No. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. We always chant Hare Krishna. No, but Prabhupada was in ecstasy. Why are you chanting? So these arguments were going on. Prabhupada's leading the way, going up the stairs to his room, up the first flight of stairs, the second flight of stairs. And behind him is Prabhupada's secretary, Brahmananda, and he's fielding questions from the others. And I'm sure Prabhupada can hear, but he's not acknowledging anything. I always say so many times, I think Prabhupada must have just laughed looking at us, you know, like inwardly. He must have very often be laughing, seeing what we were doing, how we were doing things. So he gets into his room, and he's not in his room for a few minutes, and Brahmananda, come on. Brahmananda and I go in the room, offer obeisances. I'll tell you, Prabhupada, I said, Krishna consciousness, you don't make a move without the order of Krishna, without the order of the spiritual master. And one day Prabhupada called Brahmananda. He said, you don't move a pin from here to here without asking me. This was our life with Srila Prabhupada. You don't do anything unless it's directed by him. You think it's difficult managing. You should see what it was like to be with that person. Everything we did, he controlled. It was very wonderful to be under such control. We pray for that. I had to be in such a situation. Brahmananda Prabhupada, what do we do when you go into ecstasy? What should we do? Prabhupada looked at him like, he said, I don't do that very often. He's very humble in his humble way. He became like, why are you asking this silly question? He said, I don't do that very often. But he said, but yes, when it happens, he said, the devotees are discussing, what's the proper thing to do? Should we chant Hare Krishna? He said, chant Hare Krishna. Any condition, you can chant Hare Krishna, he said. But this was Prabhupada's ecstasy. And now he's back in that same place, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. The place where he had to bring people from every town and village to chant together. And he had done it. Cost $500,000 to bring 500 devotees from all around the world to a festival that lasted a week or two for most of them. Almost $500,000. Prabhupada didn't even consider, you come here to this place. We've established this place. And that place was His ISKCON center. That was the place. That was the focus. That was the center for us. There was no other center. You can go here, go there. Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. No, that was his birthplace too. And it was his activity place. What do we read about Krishna? His activities. What do we read about Lord Chaitanya? Their activities, their preaching work. This is what's important. This is what's important for us. We call ourselves followers. This is how we follow Lord Chaitanya's orders. Our spiritual master's orders within ISKCON. Show the world it's an international society. Huh? Not this clique over here, this group over here, everybody separated by skin color, by class, by age, by money. No. Prabhupada, he obliterated all those divisions. And he showed us who traveled with him. We traveled. He'd have a sannyasi, a grahastha, a brahmachari, all traveling with Prabhupada. He didn't care. You were this cloth or that cloth. If you could do the service, you did the service. This was how he spread this Krishna consciousness movement all around the world. This was his secret. But within that, he wanted us to follow rules and regulations as well. Especially in the Dham. Not to be nonsense. To act like devotees. Act like proper Vaishnavas in the Dham. Any questions? It's a long day today. Thank you all for those that have stayed. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Krishna Chaitanya Mahāprabhu ki jai, Gaur Purnima ki jai.